here today to talk about God's changing church. And you say, wait a minute, the church should never change. Well, everything on this earth changes. We're going to have to get used to that. But our message today is that we want to see the church changing, but staying faithful to the Word of God. So if you'll stand with me, we'll read Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7, and then we'll begin our message. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We'll turn this responsibility over to them, and we'll give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the Word." This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, also Philip, Porcius, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenius, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the word of God spread, the number of the disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. A famous book was written years ago, and the title is You Can't Go Home Again. And I thought when I first heard of that book, well, of course you can go home again. We moved out of Saginaw when I was 12 years old. And a few years ago, I went back past the old homestead. And guess what? It wasn't home anymore. It was still in the same location. It was still the same house with some minor changes. But next door to our house used to be Mr. White's house. Mr. White was an older gentleman that had lost his wife. And Mr. White was very knowledgeable, and I used to love to sit and talk with Mr. White when I was a boy. Mr. White's house was gone. On the other side, there was a house between and another house, and it was gone too. I went around the corner on Granger, and there used to be Mooney's Ice Cream. It was on that corner. We used to love going there. We were pretty poor because there was 8 of us kids, and my dad had a bad back, and we had trouble financially. So although Mooney's Ice Cream was just around the corner, I mean, you could get there in a minute, we went there about twice a year to get ice cream because we simply couldn't afford it. But Mooney's Ice Cream was gone. In place of Mooney's Ice Cream was a drugstore, but guess what? The drugstore went bankrupt, and so there's an empty building there. Geographically, still the same place, but in every other way, changed. You can't go back home. So it's extremely important we understand that the church has changed a lot over the years. 2,000 years ago, after Christ's resurrection, the church started on Pentecost. And the church began to grow rapidly. I mean, really, really rapidly. When we use the word church, people today think of a building in a location. But that's really not what the word church means. The word church means the called out one. We have been literally called out of this world, and our citizenship has changed. Now, I still am a citizen of the United States of America, but I have a greater citizenship than that. Our citizenship now is with the Lord in heaven, and things have changed drastically. When we say the word church, not only do people think of a building, but they also think Lutheran, Catholic, Methodist, Presbyterian. That's their church. But you know, there was a time when there was no Baptist, there was no Lutheran, there was no Catholic, there was no Methodist. There was a time when people in the church were called people of the way. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me." So the church has changed a lot. The amazing thing about the church is that it's mentioned by name over 100 times in the New Testament, And never does it talk about a building. Never does it talk about a denomination. It talks about a group of people that have been called out by God to be his children. But the church, over the years, has changed a lot. In Matthew 18, verse 20, and we'll be coming back to the book of Acts, so put a marker there if you can. Matthew 18 and verse 18. I tell you the truth, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I tell you that if any two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, there am I with them. So it only takes two people to come together, and the Lord Jesus Christ is in the midst. So someplace in this room right now, the Lord Jesus Christ is with us in a very unique way that he's not with us when we're not assembled together. He's here in presence. 2,000 years ago, the early church had a magnetic draw on people. It was amazing the growth that happened right after the church started. The early church, after Christ's resurrection, they all hid. And there was 120 of them together. But on the day of Pentecost, 50 days after Jesus Christ rose from the dead, 120 people were meeting together. The Apostle Peter preached a message. So you went from 120 believers to 3,120 believers in one day. That's huge multiplication. In Acts chapter 2, verse 41, it says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added to them about 3,000 souls. The church didn't stop growing. It was magnetic and it just kept huge growth going. In Acts chapter 2, verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And then Acts chapter 4, verse 4. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of men was about 5,000. And then Acts 6, 7. And the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. And then the last verse here is Acts 28, verse 28. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed, and had great reasoning among themselves. And Paul dwelt two whole years in his own hired house, and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concerned the Lord Jesus with all confidence, no man forbidding him. Luke wrote the book of Acts, Dr. Luke, and Luke wrote about the early church growth, thousands upon thousands of people coming into the magnetic church. One of the big magnets that drew people to the early church was the fearless preaching of God's word. The apostles were forbidden by the Jewish priests to preach in Jesus' name, but they counted it an honor to preach in Jesus' name, regardless of any problems that might come. In Acts 2:41, it says, then they were gladly received his word and were baptized, and the same day were added to them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, and fellowship, and breaking in bread, and prayers. Acts 4:4 says, howbeit many of them which heard the word believed. And so the preaching of the word was the magnet that drew people to the early church. The problem is, we went into the Dark Ages. And during the Dark Ages, the word of God was let go, and the teaching of men came in. And for almost 1,000 years, the preaching of the faith was set aside. It's an amazing thing. There were still people preaching the word, but most of the church had left the preaching of the word for the preaching of men's ideas. And many churches to this very day, instead of faithfully preaching the word, are preaching men's ideas. When you turn on your television today and you see some of the preachers that are on there, and they're telling you that God wants you happy and wealthy and wise all the time and nothing should touch you, folks, that's not the Bible. That's their idea. When you turn the channel and you come to another pastor that tells you, God, the only reason you're sick is because either there's sin in your life or you're not walking with God. Those are the only two reasons anybody should ever be sick. That's not what the Bible teaches. We have to be careful that we as a church, we as a people, keep the Word of God uppermost at all times. In Acts chapter 6, we're going to flip back there. That's where we put our marker. In Acts chapter 6, the church comes upon a problem. This is the early church, and they come upon a problem. In Acts chapter 6, verse 7, it says, "So the word of God spread, the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith." But the problem was in the early church that the church now was not just Jewish, Gentiles were being saved. Thousands of Gentiles were being saved. Some were Greek, some were of different nationalities, and they were all in Jerusalem in the church. And the problem was that the Grecian widows, those that were non-Jewish, were being ignored by the church and not being fed. And they came to the apostles to take care of the problem. How much can one man do? Can't do it all. Even 11 men. They can't do it all. And so they came up with a plan. The plan was the apostles would devote themselves to the word of God and prayer, and that other people in the church would pick up the daily work that had to be done. It's an exciting proposition because suppose the apostles had quit preaching the word in order to take care of the problem. Without the preaching of the word, how many can be saved without the hearing of the word of God? None. How many lives can be changed in a Godward progression without the hearing of the word of God? None. And so the preaching of the word had to be uppermost, and the apostles protected the church because they knew that without the faithful preaching of the word of God, the church was not going to continue to grow. We all need to do our part so that those who are specially called to preach the word can preach the word. And so the apostles had to come up with a plan. The plan was the apostles were going to take care of preaching the word and prayer, and the ministry was going to go to the people. You know, the Bible doesn't just talk about deacons. It also talks about deaconesses. A deacon or a deaconess are those who serve the church, whatever local church that is. Again, during the time the writing of the Bible, they didn't have a church building. They met usually in somebody's house. Somebody had a bigger house, and on Sunday, everybody would go to that house and assemble together. So it was a lot different back then than it is now. The church has changed somewhat, but the idea is still, in the preaching of the church, we have to stay faithful and keep that first. Many churches today, and I maybe have been to a couple on our vacations, you go in for church time, and it's about 40 minutes of music and about 10 minutes of preaching. Folks, I love Christian music. I love to hear it. I love most of the new songs. There's a few not crazy about that, but most of the new songs, I really enjoy them. But when it comes to time for church, music is important, don't get me wrong, but it can't take the priority. There has to be the preaching of the word uppermost forever. In Acts chapter 6, verse 1 again, "In those days when the number of the disciples was increasing, the Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebrew Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. And so the problem is, you've got hungry women who are angry. And you've got families of hungry women that are angry, and they're not pleased with what's going on in the church. There should be the same treatment of everybody. There shouldn't be one class, we'll take care of these people, but you people who are not Jewish, or you people who are not white, or you people who are not whatever, we don't want to take care of you. Folks, it takes a body to take care of all these things. The Adamite church said, the apostles, it wouldn't be right for us to neglect the word of God. Now, the widows had to be taken care of. The problem wasn't that they didn't want to take care of the widows. The problem was it was time for the church to start to grow, realizing that we are saved to serve one another. It shouldn't be two or three or four people trying to carry all the load. Everybody working together. I don't know how many of you know it now, but I and Mimi don't do most of the janitorial work here anymore. Debbie next door is doing a wonderful job. I just want to encourage you once in a while, tell her thank you. Bev does the financial reports. We got to take time to thank each other. Betty Lou and Nancy and Frankie and Dave do the music. Every once in a while, I would just advise you, tell them thank you. For years, Tim and Bev have cut the lawn here. I and Norm and Dave have split the job now. And I got to tell you, I praise the Lord. They saved me a lot of work over the years. Folks, it takes a body to serve a body. And I want to encourage you, find your giftedness that you can use for God's glory so that others can do the ministries they're called to. It's very important. In Acts 6:3 now, it says, brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We'll turn this responsibility over to them and we'll give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. The proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, also Philip, Porcius, Nicanor, Timian, Parmenius, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. That last name on that list, Nicholas, a convert from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. What did that mean about that man? He was a Gentile. He was not a Jew. When you have a board in a church, you want a good mix of the people. Why? Because they'll tell you something. If their people aren't getting taken care of, they'll let you know. The church needs to know that. We need a mixture of people, all with different gifts, all serving each other. You'd expect verse 7, the end of that record, to say something like this. And the widows were fed and everybody was happy. But that's not what it says. It says the widows were fed and the preaching of the word went forward. Folks, we need to be busy about God's work. And that's a lot of different things that all go into having a successful church. But we need to remember what's most important in every church. And it's not the praise music. It's not that we have a beautiful building. It's not that the lawn is immaculate or the flowers are beautiful. It's the preaching of the word. And so we dare not forget that. We need to be important about keeping the word of God first. It says the number of the people increased and the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and even a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. The word of God increased. That's the most important thing of all the things in any local church you're ever going to go to. Make sure you go to a church that stresses the word of God. Because a lot of churches, as I mentioned, churches are changing, and they have been changing. Many churches today put the preaching of the Word of God as almost the least important thing in their groups. I just wanted to mention before I go on, last week one of my hospice clients died, and she was Lutheran. We had some wonderful times of fellowship together. She used to pick on me because I always used Baptist songs, and she was sure to let me know. But I don't worry about Baptist, Methodist, Lutheran, Catholic, whatever. It's just the preaching of the Word. And it's so important. I've been in Lutheran churches that preach the gospel exactly like we do. Now, they might have a different method of baptism or something, but they preach the gospel, and I praise the Lord for that. But I bet in other Lutheran churches, you couldn't understand the gospel if you went there 100 years. You'd never hear it. I've been in Methodist churches up in the thumb. Now, I don't know about around here. I haven't been in that many Methodist churches around here. But up in the thumb, there are some old pastors. I'll tell you what. One old boy, I went on a call with him, another one of my hospice clients. I had given the gospel to the woman who passed. But the husband, when I talked to him, he said, oh, yeah. He says, I've been faithfully serving the church for 40 years now, and I do this, and I did that, and I did the other thing. And we were setting up the funeral, so I kind of let it slide a little bit with him. But then we met together because the funeral was going to be at the Methodist church up in the Thumb area. And we sat down, the Methodist pastor, myself, and the man whose wife had died. And we got talking, and the old Methodist pastor said, what about you? He said, I've heard that your wife got saved, but what about you? And the man started to say, well, I've done this, and I've done that, and I've done this. And the man said, no, I don't care what you've done. Have you received Christ as Savior? I thought, wow, there's some fire in that boy. And that guy got saved that day. Folks, we don't put down other groups. We'll encourage anybody, whatever the name on the door, as long as the gospel is going out. And so that's where we want to be. In Isaiah 55:11, it says, so is my word that goes forth out of my mouth. It will not return to me void, but will accomplish what I desire. Folks, the word of God in your family, I can't encourage you enough, especially when your children are little. Have a short time each night before they go to bed just to read a little Bible story, just to talk about it, just for a few minutes. It doesn't take an hour. 3, 4, 5 minutes, you can go through a little Bible story and instruct your children. When your grandchildren come to visit you or your great-grandchildren, you've got an opportunity to tell them the good news. To tell them, yes, Grandpa and Grandma have believed this for 25, 40, 50, 60 years now. The preaching of the Word is what's going to save your great-grandchildren. Whether it's you doing it, or your children doing it, or a faithful church doing it, we need to get the Word of God out. Luke gives us a clue as to why the early church grew so rapidly. And it's found again in Acts chapter 6, verse 2. It says, so the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. And so they together appointed men to take care of that, and they stayed with the Word. We need to do the same thing today in all of our churches. Again, I don't care the name on the door. We have to keep first things first. There's a lot of things around the church that need to be done. Somebody's got to do it. And so I just encourage you. I mentioned this morning when we talked about Debbie joining the church. I said, we don't push church membership a lot because I'd rather have 10 really dedicated members who care about this church than 100 members that do nothing. We want to encourage everybody to find a ministry because that's what you're saved for. We are to minister to one another. And the Bible says, as the whole body does its part, the whole body grows. When you come into church and you hear the piano playing and the organ or the guitar and Nancy leading the singing, That's all wonderful, but somebody has to do it. It doesn't just happen. People need to make up their mind that I will serve the God in my area. Suppose on Sunday morning, we had all the little children that are in here stay here for the whole service. Would that be a good idea? Probably not. We've got some wonderfully exciting children that love everything about church, but they're a little bit on the noisy side sometimes. I'm glad when they go down. But we love them. I'm so thankful we've got children here. But somebody has to say, I will minister to those boys and girls. And I praise the Lord, we've got people that are doing that, and they're glad to do it. The Word of God is what we stress. Acts 6:7 again, the Word of God increased. The church didn't slow down on preaching. In fact, they increased it because now they've got people helping in key positions. And every church should strive to have helpers come along, pick up part of the load, because nobody can do it all. I don't care how much energy you've got, you're going to wear yourself out trying to wear too many hats. So the number of decisions was increasing, and the number of disciples was increasing. What's the difference between somebody making a decision and becoming a disciple? A lot of people make decisions to receive Christ that never become disciples. What is a disciple? A disciple does two things, and this is so important for you to try to keep in mind. A disciple follows the teachings of the master, and in this case, it's Jesus Christ, but they also follow the life. How did Jesus live? And we are not told to go and make converts. We're told to go and make disciples. That means some of us have to be teachers. Some of us have to be able to teach somebody the Word of God so they can become disciples. They'll know the Word of God, and they'll see the example of Christ as you explain it to them, and they too can become disciples. But that takes some work. None of this just happens by itself. Somebody has to decide, I'm now a child of the King, and I want to serve him as a child of the King. I want to do what I can do. Everybody in this room has some kind of ability that you can serve the Lord with. All you have to do is look and ask the Lord, Lord, what would you have me do in whatever local church I attend? Some of you won't be here in 5 years. I don't know if I'll be here in 5 years. We're getting a little older. But wherever you go, keep in mind there's an area of service for you that frees somebody else up to do what they're supposed to be doing for the Lord. So we don't have to be a pastor or a seminary graduate to serve the Lord. We just have a heart that says, Lord, you've equipped me with physical abilities and spiritual abilities. Show me what you would have me to do. Acts 6:7 again, the end of the verse says, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Now that's interesting to me because the Jewish priests were the greatest threat to Christ's life. And they hated what he did. Because Jesus told them, it's not right in the house of God to sell. We talked about that this morning. It's not right to cheat people in the house of God. And so even these priests, as they saw the boldness of the preaching of the Word of God, as they became convinced in their own hearts that Jesus Christ truly had raised from the dead, many of those priests put away their Jewish faith and received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. The preaching of the Word is what will bring us. The Roman world changed when the church started. In the Roman world, it was nothing for a man to have a wife or two or three, and then to have prostitutes and girlfriends on the side. If one of those prostitutes or a girlfriend had a baby, it was no problem at all for the Roman men just to let that baby starve to death. That was the way it was. Women were cattle. When the Word of God began to be preached in the New Testament, and the New Testament stressed the place of women in the church, that they are sisters in Christ. They're not cattle. and that babies have value. They're made in the image of God. People took notice. This is really different from anything else we've ever heard. And the preaching of God really is different. I tell you, the Word of God will do two things. Either it'll draw you like a magnet, or it will repulse a person. If a person isn't seeking the truth, Jesus said, those that don't seek the truth will not come to me, but those that seek the truth will come to faith in Christ. And so when we preach the Word of God, don't be surprised if it doesn't always bring people into the kingdom, because they very possibly might not. In Hebrews 4:12, this is how important in God's estimation the Word of God is. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's our magnet, preaching the Word. Doesn't just have to be the pastor. It can be any of us in our own homes preaching the Word. Any of you on your jobs preaching the Word to those you work with. Now, I'm not talking about don't do your job and just preach the Word. That won't work. But on your breaks, when you sit down for lunch, you can preach the Word. When I was at Plant 2 and Plant 5, we used to have Bible studies at lunchtime. Now, you only had a half-hour lunch, so that meant you ate pretty fast, and then you got into the Word of God. And men were saved in those Bible studies. It's important wherever we are to preach the Word of God. In our local churches, music is extremely important. Worship time is extremely important. But we have to keep first things first. Faithful preaching of the Word is what's going to save souls. Heavenly Father, as we studied today, the changes that have come into your churches over the generations, Father, help us to realize that doesn't mean we departed from Scripture. We're following Scripture and adapting to how the society can take the church. Father, help us to be strong for your glory. Help us to be faithful to your Word. And we're going to give you the praise today in Jesus' holy name. Amen.